Hi everyone, I'm Amy Zellmer and thank you for tuning in to my video series. I'm here today with Sam Black. In early 2013, Sam was a passenger in a car that was hit by an impaired driver. And from that moment on, her life changed forever. Suffering from several injuries, including a brain injury, Sam was unable to return to a career that she loved very much. Through months of healing, reflection, and support, Sam was able to focus on the gifts that she still had to offer. And through this transition, Grounded Roots Wellness was born. Located in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, Sam is the executive director of Grounded Roots Wellness, Inc., a space dedicated to healing the mind, body, and soul. Sam is a certified psychic medium, wellness coach, trainer, and speaker. She has a passion for helping others find the little gems inside and empowering them to shine their light. So thank you so much for being here, Sam.
Thank you for having me. I love being here with you.
And today, Sam is going to talk to us about five steps to reclaiming your life after a brain injury. And I'm so excited. This is a topic that I think many of you will get a lot out of. We were talking earlier and I was saying how it's really easy to get stuck into that negative pattern of like, this sucks, I'm never going to feel better, why did this happen to me? And it's really easy to go down that negative path, and we really need to find a way to shift that attitude and focus on the positives. Find the things that you're still able to do instead of focusing on the negatives. So Sam, I'm going to turn it over to you and you can dive into your five steps.
Yeah. And you know, that's a perfect place to start because step one really is about honoring your body's reset. And that's a really important step with reclaiming your life after a brain injury because of the fact that our bodies need a lot of time to rest. And when we don't rest, the brain's fatigue gets even worse. So that moment of, I'm never going to get better. This really sucks right now. I was doing better and now I'm not. It's just so much more enhanced when we're not honoring what our body needs. So one interesting thing too with brain injuries is that we go through a period where we are doing better. And we think, oh, good, this is finally, I'm going around the corner now, this is good. And then all of a sudden, bam, you're back 2 steps, you're sleeping more, the headaches are back, you know, brain fatigue set in. And it's like, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? And for me, you know, I really struggled with that whole lack of control piece and just really wanting my old self back. So when those things would happen, I would really get discouraged. And fortunately, it's just not in my makeup to stay in that space long. I really, as soon as I notice it, I'm like, okay, you've got your 5 minutes to wallow, let's move on. But I really realize that it's actually just a part of our healing process. It's not that we've done anything wrong. It's that, you know, the pieces in the brain that need to reform and build a new bridge of communication need us to sleep in order to do their job. And so when I finally was able to realize it in those terms that I was actually helping my body to heal by resting, I stopped with the guilt patterns of, you know, how much the resting took away from my life. So definitely honoring your body's reset. This is how your brain's going to heal. This is how you're going to build strength and resiliency and all of those things. So just honoring it and welcoming it, because it really means that once that process is over, you'll start feeling better again after.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, talking about that going backwards, you know, a few months into my recovery, I'd be like, oh, I'm having a really good day. I think I'm starting to feel better. And I'd maybe like go to the grocery store and then bam, I'd be set back for like 4 or 5 days. And it was really discouraging. Like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? Am I doing something wrong? Is there something more wrong with me? It was really challenging to get past that. And it's true, your brain absolutely needs to rest in order to heal.
Yeah. And I was sharing with you earlier too, you know, I have 2 little tricks that I used in order to honor my body's reset. So the one is that as a parent, I feel really guilty for not spending as much time with my kids as I used to because I have to rest. And so as soon as I got my license back and I was able to drive more than the 15 minutes, I started, you know, taking them to parks and things like that, but it would really drain me. And so one of the things I do now is, you know, I have my sunglasses because most of us with brain injuries, we love our sunglasses. And I would wear those to the movie theater, earplugs sometimes even too, because the noise can be really harmful and really trigger the headaches. But I would put the kids on the inside. And, you know, they're all big enough. They're not toddlers. But I'd put them on the inside and I'd sit on the aisle seat. And that way, you know, when I fell asleep, they were still enjoying a movie with mom. It didn't matter that I, you know, was sleeping beside them. At least then I felt like I did something with them and they weren't deprived. Because, you know, that healing period, they missed out on their activities. They've missed out on trips we were supposed to take, you know, and I can't do anything about that. But that's one little thing that I can do with them that I, you know, feel that it's still honoring my body's reset. And the other thing is that I nap at work. So one really big challenge for people trying to return to work after a brain injury is that whole piece of, I'm still sleeping 2 to 4 hours a day. How am I going to do my job and have that nap? So I'm really fortunate that I do energy healing with some of my clients. So I have a massage table in my office, and in the cupboard, I have pillows and blankets. And so in the afternoon, I still have my nap every day. It's just at work instead of at home. So it's a way that I'm still honoring my body's reset, but at the same time, I still feel like I'm accomplishing something with my day and joining the big people of the world. So
mm-hmm. I still take a nap almost every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's really important. And you know, if you feel it coming on, it's important to take it. I know sometimes you might get to the point where you're like, oh, okay, I can go 2 days now without a nap. And you try to push for that third day. And it's so important to just listen to your body. If it's telling you to nap, even if it, you know, it, you're thinking in your head, well, the pattern's been this. No, just honor it. Honor it. I promise you, you'll feel much better. And the other thing too, a lot of people have shared with me and I experienced, is that whole, after you have that nap, you feel hungover after. It's not a restful sleep. And so in the beginning, that was part of why I fought some of the napping, because I didn't like that after piece.
Yeah.
But I try to keep in perspective that it's the brain's way of healing. And so I just go with it and I honor it, because I know that although it's going to be tough in this block of time, it will start to improve. So just honor your body's reset.
And number two.
All right. So number two would be to be embracing the tools to help you with your memory. And memory is such a huge challenge with people with a brain injury. And it's also one that others don't often understand. You know, there's a lot of comments out there around, oh, well, everybody forgets things and things like that. But the reality is with a brain injury, we are forgetting things. So having tools at our disposal to help us get through that will not only help us feel more empowered and in control, but it'll also help us get done what we need to do. Because there's already enough things that we're not able to do anymore. We might as well feel really good about things we can still do. So early on with my brain injury, the one thing that I lost, I'm not sure if other people experience this, but I lost that physical urge to eat and drink. I no longer was able to say, oh, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, until it was to the point that I'd gone all day without anything and I was totally starving. So I would go from not feeling anything to totally starving in seconds. And so my husband would say, well, you haven't eaten or drinking anything all day. No wonder you feel that way. And for me, I really struggled with that piece because I didn't understand it. You know, in the career that I had before, eating regular meals was not something I got to do. I ate on the road. I ate in between clients. I ate at my desk. So, you know, I ate when I was hungry, but I didn't have that hunger urge anymore. So my psychologist said to me the one time when I was sharing that that was one of my struggles, he's like, okay, pull out your smartphone. And I said, well, I don't have a phone. I'm not at work, so I don't need it. And he said, okay, your homework is to go get yourself an iPhone or something like that. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. So I brought my iPhone back to our next session. And he said, okay, so you're going to go in that and we're going to set you up a schedule so you'll get alerts when it's time to eat and drink. So, of course, my earth brain for that is saying, oh my gosh, you actually need a reminder to eat your dinner. Like, this is crazy. But the reality is, what a huge help that was. I wasn't going long periods anymore without food and water. You know, every hour I would have something on there that said drink water. And then, you know, quarterly I'd have my eat something, you know. And it was such a huge tool. And I found that after about 4 months, it just became ingrained. My body and my brain had accepted that that was my pattern and I didn't need the timer anymore. I do go through periods where, you know, when we opened in the fall, I got busy again and I wasn't remembering. So I did restart the timer. I went right back to that step. It's so helpful. So just embrace whatever tools you have around you to help you stay on top of your memory. Post-it notes are another great way. I love them, use them all over. My husband and my family maybe aren't as appreciative of them because they would be all over all the walls before. Now I just keep them to my room or my office and things like that. So I'm only subjected to them, but post-it notes are a great way because when you're done, you can just take it right off the wall and you're no longer worrying about what you have to accomplish. And then the next thing would be coaching. Whoops, let's see. Speaking of notes, my daughter hands me this. Can I whip the last cupcake with Brooklyn? You can, but right now I'm filming with Amy, so I need you to stay out. See, notes are good for everybody. Okay. And the last is really coaching. Like, Amy, you and I are both coaches, and I always tell everybody all good coaches need coaches. And, you know, I was able to beautifully transition into coaching from child welfare because two of my big triggers and things that were preventing me from returning to my career were the memory issues and the ability to manage crisis. Whereas that had been my strengths before, now I wasn't able to access them. So in coaching, we're dealing with healthy adults looking to get from A to B, and you know, we don't have to worry so much about memory because I can look at my notes, whereas I couldn't do that in my career. And one thing is that I'm really fortunate is I have a lot of coaches at my disposal being a trainer that we can all kind of coach each other. And I know my one good friend, Jolie, I call her all the time and I'll say, okay, I need 5 minutes. I'm stuck. Like I'm stuck. My old me, I remember I could do this. And I can't do this now, and I don't know how to get there. And, you know, being able to have somebody to just bounce that off of will take you a really long way. So your coach could be your doctor, your psychologist, your partner, a friend, an actual coach. I know Amy does great coaching. I do coaching. So finding someone who can act as a coach, who you can actually just brainstorm and brain dump with when you're feeling stuck so that you feel like you have a resource to help you get to where you need to be without getting upset, frustrated, or feeling guilty that you can't do it anymore. So those are some of the tools, but definitely there's lots of other ones out there. So embracing the tools to help you with your memory is definitely step number two.
Mm-hmm. And you know, talking about the smartphone and the calendar, I don't know what I would have done without my Google Calendar. I had to set alerts 30 minutes, 15, 10, and 5 minutes because my 30-minute alert would go off. I'd be like, oh, I have a client coming in a half hour. And then the next thing I knew, it was 15 minutes later. Like the concept of time kind of was lost and the lack of awareness. So that was really interesting learning how to deal with that. And I still do have some of those issues with time. But the post-it notes, you know, people, like you said earlier, people always make comments like, oh, I forget things too. And it's like, this is different. This is like, there's a black hole. If I have a post-it note, like, okay, so I have to go to the grocery store. I write my list and put it inside my purse so that I don't forget it. But then I have to put a post-it note on the outside of my purse telling me to go to the grocery store.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's not even there. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I totally get that. And you know, that whole idea around time is so different now than it was before. Like before I would say, okay, there are 8 hours that I have to do these things. It's not like that anymore. And for me, I lose time as well. So something that I'll say, oh, well, yesterday we did this. My husband will say, well, no, that was like 3 months ago, you know, or the same thing with you, that, you know, in 5 minutes I have a meeting. I can say, you know, oh, I'm, you know, so excited. I'm doing this, you know, this afternoon. But by the time I get there, I totally forget that that's what we're doing. So having these tools really help us with being independent and, you know, have a good sense of humor, because we haven't done anything wrong to make it that we are not remembering. So just going at it with your five-year-old self, you know, and just be able to laugh, because really we can't change it, but we can integrate tools to help improve what's happening for us. So that's number two. And number three would be to balance your day and create boundaries. So in line with this whole idea of using the tools, one tool that I use for balancing my day is time blocking. Because the reality is that we need more time to complete tasks than we needed before. And our day can quickly, we can lose time very quickly. So even putting down a time block for getting dressed and showering, but then doubling that time. So if your earth brain is saying 15 minutes, I put down 30 and I just block that right off. Now you can do that easily with an online scheduler. I like pen and paper personally, because then it's a visual and I'm coloring it and I remember better. But go with what works for you. But being able to identify those blocks of time that are non-negotiable, your nap time. If you know that you need a nap and you tend to do that right after lunch, block that time off. It's already taken. Your meal time, your exercise time, blocking all of that off so that you can see, okay, this is what I have left. And being really realistic about balancing your day. The other thing too is to plan that extra time for sleep, activities, self-care, even if it's to go to the grocery store, block that time that you need to de-stimulate after the grocery store. Grocery stores are a huge trigger for people with brain injuries, between the lights, the busyness, all of that. I can remember one of my good friends, our outing had traditionally been a Costco trip. And where we lived in Northern Ontario, we didn't have a Costco. So this would be an all-day event. We'd drive an hour and a half, go to Costco, go for lunch, and then come home. And I don't know when it was, but it was probably within 3 or 4 months of getting the brain injury that we planned for this trip. And it took 5 days to recover from that one Costco trip. So be really realistic about how you're planning your day and balancing it out. Then step four, this one's really, really crucial, is to grieve your former self and love the you that you are now. You know, I had a really hard time grieving that girl. And it's interesting, because you still get glimpses of your old self from time to time. You still, you know, can remember what you were like before, and you'll miss that. And it's okay to do that, but you still need to love and embrace who you are today, because you have so much to offer the world. And really, if we are feeling bad about what we can't do anymore and remembering what we could do before and comparing, it would be similar to having two siblings and comparing the two of them. It's just unfair to do that to yourself, because you haven't done anything consciously or unconsciously to prevent yourself from being able to do those old things or be that old person. I know I used to be much more social before than I am now. I'm just not able to handle all of that interaction all at once. But that used to be something I was very good at before. You really need to figure out who you are now in a loving way and really embrace your new you, because you're here for a reason. You have so much to offer. And there's still light inside of you that wants to shine. And if it's being compared to somebody else, it's going to dim really quickly. So that would be my number four. And really allowing that forgiveness to happen. It's not a giving up. It's giving more, really, because you're just embracing a whole new you. What do you think about that, Amy? Did you go through that too?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I still go through it. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's the hardest part, is that we remember who we were and what we could do. And, you know, like whether you're an accountant and you can no longer do math, like mm-hmm. how frustrating is that? But instead of focusing on what it is that we can't do anymore, you really have to find what it is that you can do. You know, like with me, there were so many things that I found I couldn't do. Like I couldn't read anymore. Yeah. It was really, really challenging to read, but I could still write. And so I took to writing as, it was initially a form of therapy. And then I realized that that was how I could share my message with the world about brain injury. So it's all about finding what you can do, not focusing on what you can't do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. I also have that issue around the reading. Reading's a huge challenge for me now, but it wasn't for me before. I'm an academic. So reading was a really big part of my every single day. And so what's really cool though, is writing was my therapy. So even though there's things that I don't remember, I keep coming across scraps of paper where I actually was writing my experiences of the healing. And I'm someone who likes to be fairly positive, but I definitely went through an angry phase of my healing, which you would do in grieving, right? So it's very similar to grieving anyhow. But there's these different experiences that happen during my healing, and I have these little gems of paper that it's almost like somebody else wrote them because I was just so angry in some of them. But they gave me huge insight to how far I've come. So what a huge gift to have. And so definitely, you know, understanding that you do have still so much to offer, but it's okay if you want to grieve that person that we've lost. And like I said, you do still feel your old self around you. You do get glimpses of who you were before. And the other thing to remember is that your loved ones miss your old self as well. You know, I accidentally on purpose, if that's a word, got testimonials from my family members. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to see them, and a legal assistant emailed them to me. So reading things that my family and friends had observed about who I used to be and what they missed about the old me in these testimonials was heartbreaking. So it's not just us that's mourning and grieving that old self. It's our loved ones too. So we really have to be cognizant of that and understand. But the wonderful thing is that you're here, and every single day that we have is a gift. So definitely that. And then my number five, this one's really important for staying positive, is really just acknowledging all of the beauty around you. You know, whenever I am feeling angry, upset, resentful, I now instantly stop myself and say, okay, 10 things now. What are you grateful for? You're not taking another step until you realize it. Whether it's, you know, that your plant has a new bud on it today, or that the sun is shining, or maybe that the sun's not shining so you don't have to wear your sunglasses.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know, there is beauty all around us, and we're an integral part of that beauty. And we need to just understand that although there are things that we miss, there's so many new opportunities around us every single day, and people who love us, and people who we can share with, and people we can be grateful for. So that would be my number five for my five steps to reclaiming your life after brain injury, is to really just be grateful and honor that beauty around you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And the more you can see beauty and positivity, the more that keeps all that negativity away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, regardless of our story, there's always someone who has had a more challenging story than us.
Yeah.
And so I love how you keep sharing and introducing everyone to each other, because we can all learn and grow together. And I really love how you do that. So thank you for including me in your journey.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to really briefly recap those five steps to reclaiming your life after brain injury. Number one was honoring your body's reset.
and understanding the need to rest. Number two was embracing tools for your memory. And you mentioned post-it notes, Google calendars, coaching was your third one. Mm-hmm. Number three was balancing your day, you know, planning your extra time and organizing and structuring out your day. And I forgot to comment on that one, but I know I have to put that where I see it. Because if it gets shuffled somewhere, I will just forget. And that's what people just can't comprehend about our memory is like, if it's not out there where I'm supposed to, where I see it, it's just gone. There's not even like an awareness to think about the things that I'm supposed to do. It's so bizarre.
So Amy, did you have a struggle getting back into the groove after the holidays?
With what? I'm sorry. I was coughing.
Getting back into the groove of.
Oh yeah.
Because I know for me, I really lost sense of time. Mm-hmm. And the first parts of my couple days off, I kept looking at my phone like, I'm late, I should be somewhere. Right. And then the last couple, I was like, oh, well, tomorrow we can go do this. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, tomorrow's a work day. Like, we're out of the holidays now. So
yep.
Another thing to remember with a brain injury, we do take longer to transition. So
and routine is really important.
Routine's so important, yeah.
Number four was grieve your former you and love the new you. And number five is acknowledge the beauty around you. So these are really just great, great strategies for reclaiming your life after a brain injury. And I really hope that all of you watching really just understand the power of these steps and the power of positivity and just reclaiming your life. And you know, it is a struggle. No one's saying it's not a struggle. It's a struggle. Every day is a struggle. some days are harder than others, and that's okay. It's accepting what it is.
Thank
you so much for Sam for being here and for sharing all of your insights with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you everyone for watching. And I'll see you guys all next time. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.